Now, I thought what we would do is cover the essay that I had AI to generate for me about, and it came up with three reasons that Titus and Luke are thought to be brothers. Al Kaufman just mentioned a brief statement of that very statement that Titus and Luke are thought to be brothers and possibly brothers. But and I would like to for him to have written an essay on it, but he did not. But anyway, AI did, and it had 2 pages on this. And then for this second part, it also generated travels that Luke went with Paul on his second and third missionary journeys, and also with the trip to Rome as Paul was imprisoned. And held under a prison. So that basically details the rest of the book of Acts. And so it wrote 2 pages on that. So I was thankful that it also provided that as an addition. But as far as it gave three reasons that Titus and Luke are thought to be brothers, the theory that Titus and Luke were biological brothers is a popular historical hypothesis based on literary clues in the New Testament. While not explicitly stated in Scripture, scholars have proposed this idea based on three primary pieces of circumstantial evidence. First, Paul's mentioning a brother of Titus, that we'll go over this, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the second reason, Titus's mysterious absence from the book of Acts. And third, Titus being Luke's possible source of information. Now, this one I don't believe is a reason of any sort, and I'll discuss this when it expounds on the third point here. But really, I think they're just two reasons and two good reasons that are given here that Titus and Luke are thought to be brothers. And then this third one, I discount that myself, but AI said that scholars have historically included that third reason, so I left it in. But I'll tell you why I don't think that had any part of it. Okay, but the first reason, the Greek wording in 2 Corinthians 8:18, Paul wrote the Greek phrase in 2 Corinthians 8:18. When Paul sends Titus to Corinth to collect a charitable offering, he notes that he is sending another person along with him. Paul writes, "And we are sending along with him," meaning Titus, "I was sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches." Many biblical scholars point out that the phrasing "the brother" can linguistically translate to Titus's brother. They have historically identified this unnamed, highly praised gospel preacher as Luke. So that is a good point here of why Titus and Luke are thought to be brothers. Here's the second good point here. Titus's mysterious absence from the book of Acts. Titus was one of Paul's most trusted inner circle companions. Yet he is never mentioned a single time by name in the book of Acts. This glaring omission is highly unusual given Titus's massive role in Paul's ministry. And as he traveled most of this time with Paul and Silas and Luke, Titus was right here with them on many of these occasions. And he's never mentioned once by Luke. Okay. Historians suggest that Luke, the author of Acts, completely left Titus out due to a cultural standard of family modesty and humility. Luke notably never mentions his own name in either of his books, omitting his biological brother Titus fits perfectly with this pattern of keeping his own family out of the spotlight. So this may be the strongest point to make on the side of that Titus and Luke were brothers, that Luke never mentioned him, even though Titus was with them for years on the second and third missionary journeys, and he's never mentioned once, but Luke doesn't mention himself ever either, only refers to himself as us and we, and then contrasts when he's not with Paul, he referred to them as they. But when he would join them, it was us and we, but he never mentioned himself by name. And that is the thought that since Titus is never mentioned by name, even though he was right there with them through all of these long journeys over these many years, 10, nearly 15 years, never mentioned once, that that is thought, well, that that would be an explanation. If he was Luke's brother, then that's why Luke left him out, because of this custom that they had not to for the author to write themselves or a family member in the writing that they had, or refer to themselves in the third person. Okay, now this third point, which I don't know why the so-called scholars came up with this point. I discount this. I don't believe this has any part of it, but it's the historical information sourcing. Scholars note that Luke did not travel with Paul during the earliest years of Paul's ministry. Now, that part is true. The we sections of Acts do not start until Acts 16, this very chapter that we will be starting. However, Luke's historical accounts of Paul's earliest journeys are incredibly detailed. If Titus was Luke's brother, Titus would have served as the perfect, highly reliable primary source of information for Luke to interview when compiling his historical records. Now, this is not a it cannot be correct of any sort. Luke would not have gone to Titus to get the information of what happened before Luke joined Paul, because he traveled with Paul for like 15 years by himself. He got all the primary information that Paul had to do from. He got straight from Paul. He was here in Caesarea when Paul was in prison for 2 years. Luke was right there with Paul for those 2 years. So he got all the information there. He had Paul right there. He didn't need Titus to get things by secondhand, because Titus wasn't with Paul in the earlier years. And about when Paul was traveling to Damascus, and when Jesus struck him blind and appeared before him, Titus wasn't there. So to get the detail amount, Luke got all of this straight from Paul and not from Titus. But as far as when Paul, Luke wrote the book of Acts, it would be this second 2 year imprisonment when they went all the way to Rome and got shipwrecked over here on Malta, on the island of Malta, but then ultimately went to Rome, and he was under house arrest for 3 years here in Rome. And that was the prime time when Kaufman is very confident of when he got all of the source material had to do with Paul. And we remember about half of the book of Acts, the first half is mainly all Peter. Now, this second half that we're in now, it's essentially all Paul. In fact, I guess it is. It is all Paul after this. Peter's not ever mentioned again in this. And in fact, in Acts 19 and 20, when Paul goes back to Jerusalem, Peter's not around. So obviously Peter is fulfilling the great commission that Jesus gave the apostles to go to and teach every human being, every creature, as the Old King James translates it, to every human to the ends of the earth. So anywhere there's a human, you go and teach them. And so obviously that's the explanation of why Peter wasn't in Jerusalem and not mentioned to be in Jerusalem in 19 and 20 toward the end of the book, because he wasn't there. He was evangelizing all over the world. But as far as source material, we do know Luke even told us that he went and got eyewitness material for the information of the book of Luke is what he tells us in the first three verses, that this was all firsthand accounts, eyewitness accounts that he related. And He is the only one to account the birth of Jesus. And Kaufman's thought of where he got that information was straight from Jesus' mother, Mary. She would have been about 80 to 85 years old. And that would be the prime time. When Paul was imprisoned here in Caesarea, he could have easily traveled, and very likely did, travel to Jerusalem, where then Mary was staying in John's house, and got a firsthand account, and that would explain all the detail that he was able to include as Mary traveled and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was going to have John, known, would later become known as John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, John the Immerser, and went to visit her, and all of the account of what she felt when Jesus leaped in her womb, when she got close to Mary, close to Elizabeth. When Mary got close to Elizabeth, Jesus leaped in her womb, and she felt that. And only Mary would have known that. And so that's the thought. The primary information came from first-hand material, not from a third-hand, third-person Titus. So I don't know why the scholars would have ever come up with that. It is true that Luke got first-hand material, but he went to the primary source, not a second or tertiary source of information. So that third part, he didn't get any of this information from Titus that he wrote here. Okay, now this last part. The biblical author Luke traveled extensively with Paul during portions of his second and third missionary journeys, as well as his final voyage to Rome. The historians track exactly when Luke was physically present by looking at the we sections of the book of Acts. In these specific chapters, Luke shifts the writing from the third person of they went to the first person plural of we sailed, signaling that he had joined Paul's traveling party. And that will happen right here in Acts 16 toward the end of the chapter, the second half of the chapter. He has several points here. First, the second missionary journey, which was Troas to Philippi, Luke first joined Paul's team around 50 AD during the second missionary journey. And first, Troas, that was right up here in the northwest part of modern-day Turkey, and right on the edge overlooking what would be Europe and Greece over the Aegean Sea. And he lived right there on that coast of city of Troas, and that's where they pick him up. The we sections begin here in Acts 16, verse 10, after Paul sees the vision of the Macedonian call. Luke joins Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And the cities of Samothrace and Neapolis. They sailed through these maritime ports to reach mainland Europe, then Philippi. Luke traveled with Paul to this major Roman colony. He witnessed the conversion of Lydia and the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. When Paul departed Philippi, the narrative shifted back to they, meaning that Luke stayed behind to teach the fledgling Philippian congregation. Then the third missionary journey and the return to Jerusalem. Roughly 6 or 7 years later, around 57 AD, Paul returned to Philippi during his third missionary journey. Luke rejoined the travel team, and the we language resumed in Acts 20, verse 5. Then they traveled back to Troas. They sailed across the Aegean Sea together, then to Miletus. They stopped at Miletus so Paul could deliver an emotional farewell address to the Ephesian elders. And the Ephesian elders met Paul, Silas, Luke, and I'm assuming Titus at Miletus. So Paul told them a final farewell to the Ephesian elders, and that was a tearful farewell. Then to Tyre, that historically wicked city that Jesus would had previously stated that the day of judgment would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for these Jews at Capernaum that were going to reject the Messiah and his kingdom, that it would be more tolerable in judgment and through eternity for these historically wicked cities, because guess what? They were at least partially receptive and had congregations right here in Tyre, is where Paul stops off, and he waits 7 whole days so he could meet with them. Obviously, he showed up on Monday and he had to wait 7 days to the first day of the week so he could meet with the Christians there in Tyre. That was known as a very wicked city. And so that is also a fulfillment of Jesus's prophecy that here the Jews of Capernaum were going to get eternal condemnation, whereas there were going to be people in Tyre and Sidon that would be saved on the day of judgment. But as far as Tyre, that's modern-day Lebanon. They navigated the Mediterranean coast, staying with Philip the Evangelist in Caesarea before walking up to Jerusalem, where Paul was ultimately arrested. And then the voyage to Rome, and that's the known as the shipwreck journey. Luke remained fiercely loyal to Paul during his imprisonment around 59 to 60 AD when Paul appealed to his case to Caesar. Luke boarded a prison ship to accompany him to Rome. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will very likely start with Acts 16 next week.